Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to be this morning, and we're going to start here. We're going to cross over to the book of Jude here in a little while, and then as well to other portions of Scripture. But I pray that this will be a challenge, yet as well as a blessing to all of our hearts and our lives this morning. But I'm going to ask every single one of you this morning to make a decision. After the Word of God is preached, after the we read Scriptures, we see what the Lord is doing in our hearts and our lives, there's no doubt in my mind that the Lord will speak to every single one of us this morning because He desires to. But I'm asking you this morning to make a decision. When the invitation is given, to simply decide that you're going to make a decision for the Lord. You're going to have to respond. If right now you're thinking in your mind, I'm not going to respond, then you've made your decision. You're not going to respond. And that is your decision. But as the Word of God is preached, I pray that you will respond. We're going to find ourselves in Luke chapter 15, and very simply the title of the message this morning is, Please Don't Give Up. Please don't give up. And I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to every single one of us this morning, asking this question, have you already given up? And if you have, I'm asking you, please don't give up. Please don't give up. There's no doubt in my mind that someone this morning has long ago made a decision that they're not going to go any further. Maybe the Lord was dealing with your heart on a matter. Maybe the Lord was leading you to do something. But in your heart and your mind, you said, Lord, I can go no further. Maybe you were saved 20 years ago. And you say, oh, I've been saved 20 years. But in your Christian life, 8 years ago, the Lord was dealing with you to do something. And you said, Lord, I'm not going any further. And 8 years ago, you stopped seeing much of God's blessings. 8 years ago, you stopped seeing all that God had for you because 8 years ago, you said, Lord, I'm not going any further. This morning, every single one of us has a time in our lives when we're afraid. Lord is dealing with your heart. He's saying, listen, I need you to do this. And He points you to a specific place or He points you in a specific direction. He says, listen, I need you to take a step of faith and trust me. And sometimes those steps of faith, yes, they're going to be scary, but you have to understand that Christ will be with you the entire way. But maybe you've said no and you're stuck right this very second. I ask you this question this morning. Where are you stuck? Where are you stuck? Luke chapter 15, we see verses 11 on down. You're familiar with the prodigal son. I remember hearing message after message. You could basically sum up the prodigal son and his entire message as being sick of home, homesick, and then home. You understand that he gets to a phase in his life where he says, I want mine, I'm leaving. He finds himself understanding that it wasn't all that he thought. And he becomes homesick. And then later on, you remember, he comes home. Look with me in verse 11, and we're going to read on down to verse 32. I pray this will be a help to us this morning as we think about this. Please don't give up. And he said, and certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, for he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing in it. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, that the father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Lord, we find ourselves in Luke chapter 15 looking for your blessing. Lord, looking for you and desiring for you to speak to our hearts and our lives. I pray that you would help us and guide us. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to open our hearts and our minds. Lord, if there's anything that is hindering us from paying attention to the Word of God, Lord, I pray that you would take it away for just a couple minutes. Lord, as we find ourselves in this portion of Scripture, I pray that you would deal with us, each one of us individually. Lord, if there's something that is hindering us from becoming the Christian you saved us to be, Lord, reveal it and help us to deal with it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that there is so much more that you have for us. And that, Lord, though it might be easy sometimes to give up, Lord, that we would not. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that there is so much more to the Christian life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this portion of Scripture. Lord, as we cross to the book of Jude, as we cross all throughout the Word of God, I pray that you would help us to understand what you have for us this morning. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the time of singing hymns. Lord, we thank you for the Sunday school hour. We thank you for all of our workers. Lord, we thank you for the blessing it is just to come to church and spend some time together. Lord, I pray that you would be with myself as I preach. Lord, I pray that you would empty me of self, empty me of sin. Lord, and fill me with the Spirit. Lord, I pray that I would only preach Christ. Lord, that if there is anything in my mind or in my heart right now that would you would not desire to be said, Lord, take it away right now. Lord, I pray that you would be pleased with this service. Lord, that we would honor and glorify you in everything that's said and done. And we'll thank you for it in the Lord's name. Amen. Luke chapter 15, a familiar portion of Scripture. Many of you know this portion of Scripture. And we're going to look at some things. We're not going to be here in Luke chapter 15 the entire time. But I do ask this question this morning, where are you stuck? Is there a time in your life when God was dealing with your heart and your life on moving to a specific place, taking a step of faith, trusting Him, allowing Him to guide you and move you to a place of continuing to grow, and you said, Lord, I can go no further? Maybe that took place a couple years ago. Maybe that took place last week. Maybe that took place right after you had gotten saved. And maybe you've just been going through the motions as a Christian and being content with just coming to church. Maybe you've been content just being a Christian and nothing else. You haven't been serving Him in your life. You haven't been finding time alone with Him. You haven't been finding yourself in the Word of God so He can help you to become the Christian He saved you to be. I remember many times when people would encourage us all throughout my life to just continue on. And yes, it's easy sometimes to just give up. But this morning I'm saying this and I'm asking you, please don't give up. It has been described many times, the Christian life is a life of multiple steps taken with the Lord. But sometimes we draw a line. You see, the Christian life goes a little bit like this. You stand right here, you've just been saved, and you take a step. As you take that step, the Lord reveals another step. As you take that step, the Lord reveals another step. But sometimes we draw that line, and instead of taking another step where the Lord would have us, we start to veer off and say, I'm going to take this path. And you see, we get ahead of the Lord, and we say, Lord, you're supposed to be right here, but right now He's back there. You see, right here is where you drew that line. You said, Lord, I'm not going any further. But He would have for you to take another step. And not veer off. So this morning I ask this question, where are you stuck? In your personal life, is there a time in your life where you can remember the Lord dealing with you and saying, listen, this is what I have for you, but you said, Lord, I can't do that, and I'm not going to do that. There's no doubt in my mind that there is someone here this morning who's been battling something. The Lord's been dealing with your heart. And you've seen blessing after blessing. You've seen God doing great and mighty things, but He's dealing with your heart about something right now. And right now, you're contemplating saying, Lord, I'm not going any further. You see, sometimes we get so accustomed and we expect God to continue to bless. And we say, Lord, we'll just continue to bless. But one thing we have to understand about God is He's not just going to bless if we're not doing what He would have for us to do. Don't assume because He is blessed that He will. The Bible says, if thou wilt walk in my ways, then I will give thee places to walk. If you don't find yourself walking in the ways of God, don't expect Him to get on your path. Because He expects you to be on His path. Every single one of us. This morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 15. We're going to cross over to the book of Jude here in a minute. But a very familiar portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 15. Notice with me the very first couple of verses. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Once again, it's been said of the prodigal son that he was sick of home, he was homesick, and then he was home. As we just read this portion of Scripture, you see that, and you understand what's taking place. We're going to look at this portion of Scripture once again, but we'll cross over. But I want us to notice some things about what happens and what takes place when we just give up. You see, giving up is sometimes one of the easiest things to do. It doesn't take much effort. It doesn't take much talent. It doesn't take much faith just to give up. Because when you find yourself giving up, there's no other step to take. You can just go wherever you want. You can do whatever you have a pleasure to do. Notice with me, when you find yourself giving up, number one, you will compromise on your convictions. You will compromise on your convictions. Notice with me in this portion of Scripture, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portions of goods that fall to me.' And he divided them unto his living." Listen, he compromised right there and then on his convictions. He said, "Listen, I've been raised this way. I understand what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to do it." It's very easy sometimes to just give up. When you find yourself giving up, you're going to compromise on what God has for you. Because right then and there, when you draw that line in the sand, when you draw that mark right there and you say, "I'm not going to step forward," you're saying, "I'm going to compromise on this. I can't do this. Lord, I know I could trust you. I know I could go further. I know that you have something for me, but I can't." And you draw that line and you start to veer off. Have you found yourself there? Have you found yourself looking back and saying, "Wow, what would it have been like? I would hate to get to a place in my life when I look back and say, I wish I would have just followed the Lord. I wish I would have just done what His will was." I remember hearing this one time. A preacher was getting up and he said, oftentimes one of the reasons we give up on God is because the flesh is what it's, we give the flesh its desire. And we hate the change that Christ wants to make. And it's so true. We were talking about this in Sunday school. One of the things that we battle all the time is pride. You see, pride will ruin our lives. Pride will get in on the smallest of issues in our lives, and we'll make it big. Something will be said, and you'll say, "I don't like that, so I'm just not going to go back. I don't like that, so I'm not going to do this," when in reality you're being convicted about something, but you don't like it. We were talking about this in our Sunday school this morning. One of the reasons that oftentimes the Lord will make a change or to lead us into something that's changing is because He wants to always have us in a place where we're uncomfortable. Because when you find yourself uncomfortable, you have to rely on God. When you find yourself in a state of comfort, when you say, "Lord, I'm really comfortable right here," that's a dangerous place. Anytime you find yourself in a state of comfort, that's a dangerous place for you as a Christian, because you're not any longer relying on God. You ever think about your personal life and maybe the Lord was leading you to do something? You say, "Lord, that's just a little out of my comfort zone." That's a good thing. Follow that leading. Because when you find yourself in that uncomfortable zone, God's going to show up. And He's going to do something you haven't seen before. And He's going to make Himself known, and you're going to look back and say, "Wow, that was uncomfortable. Wow, you should have seen what my Lord did. You should have seen what He had done." But when you find yourself saying, "Lord, I'm not doing it," you're going to compromise on some things. You're going to compromise on the convictions that you have. Because the path that is not led by the Lord is the path of destruction. The path that is not led by the Lord is the path that's going to get you away from the Lord. And the further you get, the more convictions you'll lose. You'll say, "Oh, it's not a big deal anymore. Oh, this isn't a big deal. You know, spending time with the Lord, going to church when I'm supposed to, reading my Bible, spending some time in prayer, trusting Him every step of the way, that's not a big deal. I can handle this." The son here finds himself losing some conviction. He's compromised. He says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Oh, now he's getting homesick. The Bible says, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine." Doesn't seem very enjoyable. Look what he goes on to say. The Bible says, "And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You see, this son thought that the path that was not being led by his father was a much greater path. But he found himself being let down. Have you drawn a line in the sand and said, Lord, I'm not going any further, and you found yourself miserable because you didn't follow the leading of God? Have you found yourself miserable because your father had something far greater for you? And now you've realized that, hey, I didn't expect this. Well, you didn't expect it because it wasn't a part of God's plan for your life. God had something for you. We love to talk about how wicked this world is. We love to talk about how we desire revival. We love to talk about how wicked the world is, and why should we expect anything other than the world being wicked? But the issue we have is none of us, not a single one of us, and this is where pride gets in, not a single one of us love when the Lord points out something in our lives that's wrong. We don't like being convicted. Nobody likes the Lord showing something that's wrong with you. When you find yourself reading the Word of God or spending some time in the Word of God or spending some time alone with the Lord, and the Lord says, listen, you need to get this sin dealt with. We all get offended. I was able to spend some time with my family this past couple of days, and we were sitting in my brother's patrol car. He's a state police officer. I swear it's the first time that I've ever been in the backseat of a cop car. But it was pretty cool. But I was sitting there. We had passed a church. It was called the Bridge Church. My brother asked my brother-in-law, is that a church? And he said, yes, it is. The church had started a couple of years ago. And we were driving by. My brother-in-law said, but that church, they just wrote an article about it. In the article, it said that the church had a bunch of crosses in that building, and that here of recent, they had taken down all their crosses because when people walked in the door, people were getting offended. And we laugh. We do. I mean, it's one of those. I looked at my brother-in-law and I said, "We're in a." It's one of those situations where you hear these stories and you say, "Is this really how far we've gone?" But listen. We look at the world and we look at other people and we say, listen, you need to get this dealt with. You need to get this sin dealt with. You need to get this sin dealt with. You need to get this conviction settled. But all the while, the Lord's looking up and saying, you, me, we need to get things dealt with. We need to get things dealt with. We need to get things settled. You need to get some things, conviction settled in your life. But we've drawn a line in the sand and said, Lord, I'm only going this far, so it's time for you to work on other people's lives. And then we get on this path and we say, it's not what I envisioned. Well, it's not what you envision because it's not what the Lord had for your life. God has so much more for all of our lives. And when you find yourself saying, you know what, I desire this, and you go to your father and say, listen, I'm drawing the line right here. You become like the prodigal son, or you find yourself where he says right here, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that it eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, this is something that we have to understand as well, that every single one of us complains about something in our lives. And those things that you're complaining about in your life, someone else is wishing they had. And that's something that convicts me every single day. There are times when I get so frustrated about a certain matter or about something, and I say, why does this have to be taking place? But that person down the street's wishing they had what I had. That person down the street saying, why couldn't I just have that? There's always, I remember being reminded oftentimes when I played basketball, Coach Hickman, my basketball coach, used to always say, we have to remember that there's always something that's worse off than you, and there's always someone that's better off than you. Be content with where God's placed you. Trust Him in the entire process for your life. If we truly want to see God send revival in this nation, if we truly want to see God work in every single one of our lives, then we must deal with our sin. Listen, I'm glad that if someone were to walk through this door and they were to see this Bible verse posted right here, if they were to see a cross, they'd get offended because they need to get offended. Listen, I was sharing with my brother-in-law that the gospel offends people and it needs to offend people. Listen, if someone were to come to us and say, listen, that Bible verse right there, that offends me, I'd look at him and say, oh, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. I was hearing a preacher the other day. I was listening to a podcast, and I love listening to other preachers across the nation. He was preaching a revival, and he had gotten done preaching the revival, and one of the men of the church said, that was a wonderful message. And he said, well, praise the Lord. I hope it blessed you. And the man said, I want to share something with you. He said, I really just don't think God's going to send revival. The preacher looked at him and said, well, then I'm wasting my time. He said, I'm not filling my calendar with meetings just to come and preach because I truly believe God's going to send revival. So, sir, if you don't believe God's going to send revival, why are you here? He said, why would you tell me it's a wonderful message if you don't think that God's going to send revival? If there's someone in the auditorium this morning who says, you know what, I love when preachers preach on revival. I love when we're praying for revival, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Then, why? That doesn't match up. Something's off. Do you not believe that the God that you're praying to and the God that you're saying, Lord, send revival is not gonna or doesn't desire to send revival? You see, God desires to send revival. We won't get our convictions. We won't get our life right. And that's what's holding us back. That's what's allowing ourselves to be so convicted and so consumed with some things. And so this morning, I'm asking this question. As we think about compromising on conviction, when you drew that line in the sand, or when you marked that little line right there and said, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going any further. Did something creep in? And you need to get that dealt with this morning? Is there something in your life right now that you need to remove because it's holding you back from what God has? You see, God has the greatest for you. And so this morning I ask this question, where are you stuck? You look at this world and you look at the devil and you think that it's your greatest enemy. You say, this world is just an enemy that I can't overcome. The devil is just attacking me constantly. Listen, your greatest enemy and my greatest enemy is ourselves. Because pride creeps in and we say, I don't want to get that dealt with. It takes too much effort. It's kind of like getting in shape. My wife kept hinting to me that I need to get in shape about 2 months ago. She kept saying, you keep eating that, you're going to die. It's fine. But no one likes getting in shape. It takes too long. I remember I was sick for a couple days. And I think I had lost like 10 or 12 pounds. I was like, well, this works. Well, let's keep doing this every once in a while. You know? But seriously, I mean, we like to hear hard preaching. We like to hear people saying, listen, this sin needs to get dealt with. And we sit back there and we say, yeah, it needs to get dealt with. When all the while the Holy Spirit is working our lives and the Lord's working our lives and saying, listen, there's something that you need to get dealt with right now. While I'm preaching, there are things that the Lord is saying, listen, you need to get this dealt with. While you're sitting there right now and you're saying, I haven't drawn a line in the sand, the Lord is dealing with you right now and saying, listen, stop compromising on your convictions. And take a stand for Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Very simply, we need less of self and more of the Savior in all of our lives. Every single day when you look in the mirror, say, listen, you're ugly. I'm not calling you ugly. I need you to tell yourself that, and I'll tell myself that. Because we all are dirty, rotten sinners. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what does it say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. John chapter 14, verse 15, a very simple verse here. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It's about time we settle some things in all of our lives. In Luke chapter 15, this prodigal son here finds himself in want. The Bible says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Not only do we find ourselves when you find yourself giving up, you find yourself compromising on some convictions, but you find yourself compromising on contending. Turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. A small book right here before the book of Revelation. But a book with so much that we ought to desire to read. The Bible says in verse 3, Jude 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Listen, notice that phrase there. It says, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. When you find yourself compromising on your convictions, very shortly after that, there's a very good possibility you're not going to be contending for the faith. You're not going to be as though And verse 3 says of that common salvation, you're not going to be sharing the gospel very much. One of the dangers of compromising in all of our lives is that we find ourselves being comfortable with our sin. We find ourselves being comfortable with our status. And we say, you know what, this isn't too bad. When all the while we're missing out on all that God has for us. I heard a preacher say one time, when you find yourself disobeying the Lord, it's not what you get in it's not what happens after that as far as getting in trouble, but it's what all you miss. You realize how many blessings you miss when you disobey the Lord? You realize that person that the Lord was speaking to you about at a restaurant saying, hey, go hand that person a tract. That person was ready and waiting for someone to come and share the gospel. You know that when you find yourself understanding one thing, that there are people in your lives that you're the only Christian they may ever come across. And if you don't share the gospel with them, who will? When you find yourself giving up, you find yourself compromising on your convictions, you find yourself compromising on contending for the faith. No longer is it a desire of yours to share the gospel. No longer is it a desire of yours to hold fast and do the things that you're supposed to. Me and my wife were talking on our way back from seeing my father this past visit. Many of you have been praying for that, and I appreciate it. My father is planning on making a trip here to Clarksville and staying with us during the December time. So, Lord willing, he'll be here for a church service. So you be in prayer for him. He's unsaved. But we had the opportunity of getting together with them, and while we were there, I didn't really notice it until my wife made mention of it, but we got in the car. And many of you know every single time that I go to my father's, one of the first things he does is ask if I want something to drink. And he's not talking about water or Coke. He's talking about a drink of beer or something. And sometimes you are sitting there and he just starts swearing, you know, it's just his natural response. We were sitting there and we had just gotten in the vehicle and Miss Kelly said, you know, I think that is the first time we've ever been there where he didn't drink a beer or he didn't offer us something to drink. When we walked to their house, my father said, would you like a water or a Coke? He asked my wife, he said, would you like some coffee? I don't think beer was ever mentioned. I don't think I heard him swear one time either. A couple weeks back, my father was in the hospital with vertigo. And he was in there for 2 days. Now, I truly believe the Lord got his attention on. He's planning on coming to visit, and the gospel is going to be shared while he's here, and he's going to hear the gospel preached. He's going to hear the gospel talked about, and I pray the Lord would convict him that day. What happens when you find yourself giving up? What would have happened if I would have given up on trying to live a righteous life in front of my father? What would have happened if I would have given up and said, you know what, I'm just going to cave in and have a beer with my father. It's just one. It's not a big deal. What would have happened if I wouldn't have tried to share the gospel many times whenever since I've gotten saved with my father, and I said, you know what, it's not even worth it. I'm not even going to try. What would happen? And you're right now, there's someone here this morning who's saying, listen, I haven't contended for the faith in a long time. Well, you've compromised it. And I'm not preaching an entire message on compromising. I'm just very simply asking you, please don't give up. Listen, that line that you've drawn, hey, it's time to step over. Because the Christian life is a life of just a bunch of steps of following the Lord. And when you find yourself giving up, you're drawing that line and you're saying, I can go no further. But the Christian life is not one where it just stops at a certain point. Christ is always trying to get you to grow in your Christian life. Christ is always trying to get you to move closer to Him to become the Christian He saved you to be. You'll never find in your Christian life where He says, okay, that's it. You have about 25 more years on earth, but I don't want you to share the gospel. I don't want you to spend some time in the Word, but I'm not going to even point you in somebody's direction. God has something for every single one of us. When you find yourself saying, I give up, verse 3 of Jude, the Bible says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. When you study this portion of Scripture out, that word contend means to stand agonizingly serious. It's a serious matter. Earnestly contend for these things. The faith there is talking about the body of doctrine in which we believe, the gospel that is preached. And when you find yourself disobeying, it's not what you get as far as what the Lord does to you, but it's what you miss, all those blessings. If right now you're in your mind thinking, you know what, I'm done inviting people to church. Every time I ask someone, they say no, they're not coming. Listen, don't give up. That one person that might say yes might come and get saved. That one person's life that you knock on that door and that you've been discouraged all day. There's been many days where we've been knocking on doors trying to share the gospel and we've missed everybody or everybody said no. And that one door, that person's waiting behind the door and ready. Just ready to hear the gospel. Please don't give up. When you find yourself giving up, you find yourself compromising on your convictions. You find yourself compromising, contending. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but you find yourself compromising continually. It's a train wreck. It's going to unravel. You're going to find yourself doing it more and more. It's kind of like when you're trying to teach your children not to lie or not to tell you lies or something, and they tell that one lie, and it's like, oh, I got away with that one. I'm just going to keep doing it. You just keep doing it. Naturally. You shouldn't. It's like things. I remember when we were growing up, there were things that we would lie to our parents about or say something. Me and my brother, and he just looked, and they'd be like, why would you even lie about that? It wasn't even a big deal. You weren't even going to get in that much trouble. But it's just it's a habit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us now be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. What if I get to a place in my life where I find myself compromising my convictions? And my conviction at one time was to bring everything to the Lord, and now I've compromised that conviction and said, it's really not worth it. And now I no longer bring anything to the Lord, and the Lord's saying, listen, I just want you to bring this to me because I have something great and mighty I want to show you. But long ago, I compromised on that conviction. Hey, what happens when I find myself compromising the conviction to read the Bible, and my son grows up and he says, you know, I've never seen my dad read the Bible. What happens when you find yourself living a consistent life and then all of a sudden you compromise on that conviction to live a holy life? And someone says, you know, you've changed. Well, you drew a line in the sand right here and you said you weren't going to go any further for the Lord. And that blessing, those great mighty works, those great mighty things which thou knowest not, they just cease. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Listen, when you find yourself living for the Lord and you're taking steps and you're living a consistent, holy life for the Lord, He has something for you. That consistent life that you're living, God's going to show that in someone else's life. He's going to deal with someone else and say, listen, I want you to live this life. I want you to do this. But if you compromise your convictions, and that conviction of once where the Lord was dealing with you about a certain matter no longer affects you. Showing up to church on a Sunday no longer affects you because you compromised your convictions when you drew that line in the sand. When you told the Lord you weren't moving forward, and when you finally said, Lord, I'm drawing the line, you didn't start moving forward, but you started moving backwards. Because every step that you took away from the step that the Lord would have you to take, you're just taking a step back. And you're saying, Lord, getting rid of that conviction, getting rid of that conviction. Before you know it, you're like the prodigal son here in this portion of Scripture, where you find him saying, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him, and when he came to himself, basically saying he's miserable here. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The last point we see this morning, I'm calling you to make a decision. I'm asking you to make a decision and respond to the Word of God, respond to the Lord this morning. Listen, I'm not preaching on your sin. I don't know what your sin is. I don't have a clue what you're caught up in. I don't have a clue what you, maybe you, if your mouth is filthy, or if your eyes are looking at something, or if your ears are listening, or if you're hanging around the wrong crowd, or if you're disobeying the Lord because He's leading you into, I have no idea what your sin is, but He does. He knows what your sin is. He knows what my sin is. And so I don't have a clue what it is. All I'm asking you to do is deal with it this morning. All I'm asking is that I myself would deal with it this morning. That I would say, Lord, I've got to get this dealt with so that I can take the next step. And Lord, when I take that next step, I'm expecting some more light for the next step. But I'm asking this to respond. Call unto the Lord to be changed, challenged, and charged to live a life for Him. Look with me. The Bible says in verse 20 of Luke 15, and He arose and came to His father. But when He was yet a great way off, and His father saw Him and had compassion and ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him. And the son said unto Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called Thy son. Notice what the father says here. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Wow. Can you imagine? You found yourself saying, you know what? I'm getting rid of this line right here and I'm coming back to the Father. Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming back to the path that You would have for me. Lord, I'm getting this sin dealt with this morning, and I'm going to continue on the path that You would have. Can you imagine what great and mighty things He would show you? Can you imagine what the Lord could do if every single one of us this morning would deal with our sin? Can you imagine what the Lord could do with all of our lives if we would say, Lord, less of self and more of You? Could you imagine what God could do? Maybe there's someone in here this morning who's saying, I just don't think that the Lord's going to send a revival. Could you imagine if every single one of us dealt with our sin this morning, and that one person over in that corner was saying, I just don't think the Lord's going to send revival if revival broke out? Can you imagine? The Burlington revival took place. I love talking about it. 2 years ago, over 1,200 people accepted Christ as their personal Savior. There's no doubt in my mind right now that there are people saying, there's no way that 1,200 people accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, 1,200 people accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And you should say, praise the Lord. And not doubt that. 1,200 people accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. It took place for about 12 or 14 weeks. The church had been praying for 10 years that God would send revival. Can you imagine what that would have taken place if they would have said, you know what, it's not worth it. We've been praying for 9 years. God's not sending revival. Do you think they would have compromised on that conviction to keep praying and asking the Lord that they believe He would send revival? Can you imagine what would have taken place? This morning, someone in here is right there, almost to give up. I'm pleading with you, please don't give up. God has something for every single one of us. He has a desire to use every single one of us. And if you've drawn a line right here and you said, Lord, I'm not moving any further, pick that line up and say, Lord, it's time for me to take the next step. He's going to be there with you the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And He's going to reveal some things. And when He reveals that sin in your life, get it dealt with. Don't get offended. Get offended and get it dealt with. Get mad at yourself. God has something for every single one of us. And I would hate for Gateway Baptist Church to see all the blessings of God and us to move forward, and all of a sudden one day the Lord is leading in something, we say, you know what? We as a church just can't go forward. And the blessings cease. And God isn't able to show us His great and mighty works, which I know is not. And we're sitting there and we're waiting on God, but long ago we drew a line and said, we as a church can't go any further. What a bad thing that would be. As a church, I pray that we would find ourselves a vision for the future where there is no vision, the people perish, asking God to guide us every step of the way. But in your Christian life right now, is there something that you are stuck at? Maybe you're stuck at a place. Maybe you're stuck at a sin. Maybe you're stuck in a certain matter where you're just struggling and you don't know what to do. And God's saying, just take the next step with me. But you've drawn a line. It's time to pick that line up. It's time to trust Him. It's time to understand that, hey, you need to come to yourself. Throw that pride behind you and say, Lord, less of me and more of You. Because that's what He desires. We're talking about the life of Daniel, and I'll close with this. We're talking about the life of Daniel in our Sunday school class. And I've enjoyed the study on the life of Daniel. And one thing that I understand more and more about the life of Daniel that I'm trying to understand, to apply to my personal life, is that Daniel feared God and could care less what man thought of him. He was so persuaded that God had done something and was going to do something, he did not care about man's opinion. And we're living in a world today where we care so much about man's opinion and there's so much self built up. And all along, we're expecting God to get on our board. We're saying, Lord, I want you to be right here. But he's saying, well, I have something better for you over here. And so this morning, would you fear God and not man? Would you pick up that line that you've drawn and say, Lord, it's time for me to take a step of faith with you. Lord, it's time for me to get this sin dealt with. Listen, I'm asking you to respond. Not because of me preaching this message, not because of me thinking I said anything, because what the Word of God says. The Bible is so clear on certain matters here. The Bible says right here in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Don't give up. Please don't give up. And Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. Please do not give up. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Please don't give up. Hey, this one's a good one. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That person you're praying for and you don't think the Lord's going to work in their life, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hey, that matter you're going through right now, that situation, that trial that you're going through, that person that you know is going through a rough season in their life, Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Hey, that person in this auditorium right now that is right there about to give up, please don't give up. I'm pleading with you. God has a plan. You just have to find your purpose. You have to find your place in His plan that He has for you. I have to find my place in His plan that He has for me. Gateway Baptist Church, there is something God has for this church. I truly believe that. But if we don't take that next step, if we draw that line, it's not the things that we don't get or the things that we miss out on. We're going to be miserable in those things. Think of all the blessings we miss out on. But in your life, I'm asking you to respond. Come to this altar. Deal with it. Deal with that sin. Get it settled because God has something for you.